Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is a beautiful, glorious Monday morning in good old Lincoln, Nebraska. And you guessed it, my goodness, we have a loaded show today. We got Nebraska's most beloved former player of all time, James Williams, has plenty to say about Nebraska. And I've got a couple of thoughts about Sir Williams, who could start by changing his number. That would make me happy. That number 90 has seen better days, at least by other folks. I don't know about by myself, but other folks. Also, lots of stuff to talk about. Nico Iamaleava. Talked about him on Friday. No longer Tennessee's quarterback. You got Oregon's coach calling Tennessee's coach saying, hey, your quarterback's over here trying to get poached by us. Is that a thing? Basically, he's trying to garner more outside interest because apparently it isn't going so well with you guys. But he was giving Heupel a head up. Dan Lanning was giving Josh Heupel a heads up. Like, hey, your quarterback's out here actively seeking other schools and other destinations to potentially go to. The man was going to make no less than $8 million starting in 2022. And he was contract negotiating and thinking about sitting out, not just this past weekend spring game, which he did, but the college football playoff. When they played Ohio State, there was a legit chance he was going to sit out that game as part of his active contract negotiations. And his daddy is involved in all of this. D1 daddy ball. I couldn't believe it the first time I saw it with Kirk Ferentz and Baby Ferentz. Then you see it with Shadur and Dion. And hey, at least Shadur is a really good player. With all due respect to Brian Ferentz, he was not a good offensive coordinator. Now, and I watched it in D.C., if I'm being honest with you, after Robert Griffin's rookie year. His dad got all sorts of involved in a lot of things and caused a lot of problems. Didn't want to run the read option anymore. He needed to start game one. By the way, Robert had just had major ACL surgery. The second time he tore the ACL on that knee, I might add, that same knee. I watched his dad get all sorts of involved. It wasn't much longer, and he was out of D.C. Now, was it entirely on his dad? No. But there's a certain point where parents should no longer be involved. And that point, in my opinion, is when you're starting in college, like there's a time to back off and back away. And I know it's different now with NIL, the transfer portal. It was easier to do. I don't want to say just scholarships. Scholarships have a ton of value. But when you're focused on a scholarship, that's one thing. When you're focused on a scholarship plus potentially millions of dollars on the line, it's a whole different thing. But at some point, parents need to, and it's hard because these young kids need guidance today's day and age. It was easier back then to back away because it was, oh, you got your scholarship. Now go earn your time on the field, your starting job on the roster. Now it's all this money and agents and people trying to take advantage of things and people who do not care about the game and the sport of football and do not care about the player. They care about the money they can get from the player. So I could see why a parent would stay involved longer. But to the extent that basically you're going to encourage your son to, hey, you might need to sit out this college football playoff game. Like, are you kidding me that was even on the table? All right, so we got chaos and insanity in college football to talk about in general. We've got our good buddy James Williams to chat about. Matt Rhule had a press conference on Saturday, and a lot of interesting things came out of there. He has thoughts on the transfer portal as a whole. We have an update, major spring updates on Nebraska football. All sorts of things to chat about here today on the Adam Carriker Show. Nebraska baseball beats Iowa yesterday. Nebraska softball run rules Northwestern again. Nebraska softball is going to play the Wildcats again today. I believe softball plays Creighton this week again as well. So other sports to talk about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, now you know. It's the Adam Carriker Show, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days a week, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. Our goal here is to be smarter than the average dumb guys. Occasionally, we achieve that goal. The rest of the time, what you're going to hear is Husker sports, college football, sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Now, Jake is currently working on a clip, okay? And it turns out, shocker, that Nico Iamaliava was not the only player actively negotiating contracts and thinking about sitting things out. Now, other names have not come to the surface just yet, but these are the things that we're going to chat about as well. All right. Like I said, loaded show as it is each and every day here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right. Check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com as well. So when it comes to Nico and the insanity that is college football and people trying to take advantage of college football, because here's the other thing. They know the window's closing. There are rules and regulations that will be coming in college football and actually a body that people respect, unlike the NCAA, that can enforce these rules. Right now, everyone's just like, ah, we're going to do what we want. What's the NCAA going to do? Oh, they're going to try to do something. We're going to sue them. And the NCAA is like this little useless coward that's in the corner that can't do anything. I've never respected the NCAA all the way back to when I was playing in college. But now it's been taken to a whole new level because they have no power. Back then, they had power, and it was ridiculous the way that they used it. We went from, if you take a bite of a cheeseburger from the wrong person, your eligibility was, or pasta, as I spoke about the other day, was it $3.85 for a plate of pasta? And there was legit eligibility that might be gone for these particular players I spoke about the other day, to guys are signing NIL deals for $8 million, and they're leaving. It's crazy. The reason I have a problem with it is because none of it makes any sense. It didn't make any sense back then. It doesn't make sense now. There's absolutely no middle ground. The pendulum swings way too far one way or the other way too often. All right. When it comes to Nico, and then we can move on, but the insanity that is college football right now. You find out the other day that he was going to make $2.4 million this year. He wanted $4 million. He wanted Carson Beck money. And he signed a deal, NIL deal in 2022 for $8 million over the next few years leading up to this year going forward. Now, what you got to keep in mind is that's the least amount of money he was going to make. That's what he was guaranteed. There's an opportunity, depending on how you play, you could make more. More brands could come to you. More people could pay you more NIL. Revenue sharing is coming, and then you can get NIL on top of it. There's going to be brand initiatives for big-time schools and big-time brands like Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Tennessee. So that was the worst-case scenario for him. Active contract negotiations is an unusual term in college football. Sitting out of practices, which surprised the Tennessee coaching staff, is an unusual college football term. Not so unusual for NFL, especially the beginning of camp and big-time players who've earned big-time contracts. Nico's was a former five-star guy. He's absurdly talented. He has first-round talent all over him. And he started on fire last year. Then as the competition got better and Tennessee went through their SEC schedule, his stats became more mundane. And I went through them on Friday. I'm not going to go through them again. His ceiling is that of a first-round quarterback. His production so far as a redshirt freshman last year was that of an average quarterback. People were talking about Tennessee possibly making a college football playoff run, not because of their offense. And this is Josh Heupel's, the head coach, I might add, a dude who's known for offense, because of their defense. Most people believe they have the best run defense in the SEC. Their secondary was a little lax, which got exposed versus Ohio State. Very young, very talented, but it got exposed. And then the run game. They're the number one rusher in the SEC. It was defense, run game. Nowhere in there was Nico mentioned. He's a young quarterback, bright future, former five-star. Hey, that's cool. Take a year to learn. My point is you demand all these things. You haven't done anything to earn it yet. It's all about what he thinks he's going to do or what he thinks he can get. To be clear, part of me is like, hey, You know, if I'm a college football player right now, this is the best any college football player has ever had. Part of me is jealous. Like, hey, I would have loved to have played nowadays. Oh, my goodness. I wonder what NIL I could have got. The defensive end, not much. It's the quarterbacks, running backs, those guys that are going to get most of it. And that's fine. Favoritism is fine. It is what it is. But I probably could have got something. So, for me, like 5 years from now, college football, hopefully, much sooner than that even, does not look like this. 5 years ago, it didn't look like this. So if I'm a college football player, this is the best time you've ever had as far as trying to capitalize on monetizing your name, image, and likeness, or just straight up being a paid mercenary to play football. So why not take advantage of it? To me, there's limits. To me, there's got to be a limit to that, though. The limit is the $8 million you're getting over a few years span, the $2.4 million that you're guaranteed. The fact that you're starting at probably a top 15, top 10 team in the entire country and one of the top programs in the country for one of the best offensive minds, quarterback developers, and coaches in the entire country in Josh Heupel. And you're getting paid multi-million dollars. To me, that's the limit. Like, once you're there, if you want more, earn it. Like, do something to earn it. I think that's what bothered me. It was all based on projection and leverage. Like, hey, behind me is a bunch of guys who are freshmen who ain't never played. Leverage. Hey, the spring portal's going to open right after this. I got leverage. Hey, I can get these other schools to give me offers. I got leverage. Nowhere in there was it, I was the number one quarterback in the SEC, or I was the number one freshman quarterback in the country last year. He did fine. Nobody's sitting here saying he doesn't have a bright future. But based on what he's done to this point, he didn't earn jack squat above what he was going to get paid. It was all about capitalization and capitalizing in the moment of leverage, the portal, pitting other teams against my current team. And I chatted with Aaron Davis. I didn't know this beforehand, so I'll give him a shout out for this info. Apparently, he had lost the locker room in Tennessee as well. When the coaches are upset with you over something like this, okay, that sucks, but it is what it is. You lose your teammates, that's when you know it's bad. That is when you know it's bad. So I think that's what bothers me. It's not the, hey, this is the best time to maximize my monetization as a college football player that I've ever had or I will ever have in college football history. I got to capitalize on it. That doesn't bother me. I mean, I had certain thoughts and ideas that ran through my head during my tenure as a Nebraska football player. There was a point in time I thought about steroids. There was a point in time where I thought about transferring. Didn't do either. I can go more into the steroids thing at a later date. The short version of the story is I was not highly thought of coming in. I watched the other guys who came in repping 315 on the bench, and I got buried under 275 day one in the weight room. I was like, holy crap.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Now, years later, some of that flipped. I'll just throw that out there, too. But again, the short version of the story is I'm standing in the house. It was after the year I redshirted going into my redshirt freshman year. So I was out of the dorms. I'm standing in the basement of the house. I got the phone in my hand. I'm ready to make the call, and I didn't, and I'll tell you why. Because the exact thoughts in my head were, I'm either going to fail or I'm going to succeed. Whatever it is going to be me. As far as transferring, that's a longer story for another day. Bottom line is, I didn't do it. I don't know how I would approach today's day and age if I were a current player. I'd probably try to maximize the monetization. But the first thing that would occur to me is I'm going to go earn it, and then I'm going to ask for it. Maybe demand it if I've earned it first. I think that's what bothers me about this. It wasn't about earning it. It was about the situation and taking advantage of it and leverage. And then pitting other schools against your school. Dan Lanning picked up the phone, called Josh Heupel and said, hey, your quarterback's out here calling other schools, trying to get money from us. Now, I wonder, in full disclosure, I love that. I'm such a huge Dan Lanning fan. Before they went undefeated, before they beat Ohio State, before they lost to Ohio State, before any of that, before they won the Big Ten championship, before any of that, big Dan Lanning fan. Okay. I wonder, though, if other players are going to be more hesitant to reach out to Oregon now that are thinking about transferring. I wonder if that might come back to bite him a little bit, like, hey, you might call my current coach. Well, I don't know. Maybe some rules, boundaries, and limitations in college football are good. Dan Lanning did the right thing, in my opinion. All right. You've got a clip, Jake. All right. But what are your thoughts on everything? And I don't know. We kind of came in and I kind of sent some clips your way. I don't know how much you've been able to listen to what I've been saying, but if you've heard what I've been saying or your thoughts in general on this Nico thing, let us know. Then go ahead and roll that clip.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. I think when you think of, all along, I think that this was possible, right? That this could happen, for somebody in college football. But the surprise to me is that it's Nico, because Nico was the guy that these, of course, all these numbers are unofficial, but he had the biggest NIL deal that I knew of, or at least reportedly in college football. So you kind of start there and you go down the line and you say, okay, well, then who's going to be upset? And it turns out it's the guy with the biggest deal in college football. So, no matter how rich you are, you'd like to make a little more money. We've talked about that before. No matter how much money you had in your bank, you'd like a few more dollars in there. Nothing wrong with that. But like you said, it's just the way that this is broken down. It was so quick. It kind of happened, I think, quick to us that were unaware of the situation because it was just kind of like, bang, Thursday, there's reports of problems. Friday, misses practice. Saturday, he's gone. But this is very obviously been a long-term thing with Tennessee. I've seen reports on him not holding up his end of the NIL deals as far as meet and greets and stuff like that. Just wouldn't go to him, ghosted those sort of situations. So it's crazy. But the same thing applies as what I've said before is we'll see. We'll see if this turns out. There's potentially somebody that's going to come out the winner of this if they do get Nico in the portal. Now, they might have to overpay for him. We've also seen that a little bit happening in college football already at other positions. So it's a fascinating situation that really can be frustrating, certainly for Tennessee fans. It's frustrating for college football to see what the sport's becoming. But at the same time, it was inevitable and it was going to happen with, like we always say, the rules and structures of college football not making any sense whatsoever. These players can renegotiate time and time again. The spring portal opens up in a few days. There's just more portals, more opportunities, and he's definitely not going to go down as a great teammate. I don't think this is going to help his, kind of long-term future. He's obviously got to turn that around. But at the same time, I somewhat understand trying to capitalize on what could be the biggest opportunity in your life to make money. Now, in no way am I going on his side to say, I would have done it quite a bit differently as this has played out, but it certainly is fascinating to see what's going to come out of this.
We're going to save the clip for after the break. All right. Because I want to chat about a couple of things in the meantime, but you are correct. I'm staring at a thing, Alan Bell on X. More factual context on the Nico situation, regards to his NIL contract, alluding to what you were saying, Jake. He was an absolute pain to deal with, holding up his end of agreements, fan autograph sessions, meet and greets, almost never showed up, ghosted many inside, happy to see him go. Good riddance is what they said. And then some of the other schools that he reached out to. And again, this has been going, this says over the winter, going all the way back to the college football playoff. Notre Dame, USC, UCLA, and Texas Tech, the Fighting Irish, like Notre Dame, or Oregon as well, were not interested. Making the move for both USC and UCLA didn't make much sense at the time. Texas Tech at least listened, but also didn't make a move. So that brings me to the question of, if you're a college, you know Nico's past, his five-star hype, you saw what he can do physically, you saw his talent, then you saw he's still a freshman with a lot to learn, and then you see everything. His dad's obviously going to be an issue. You got to deal with D1 daddy ball. He might sit out a college football playoff game if he's unhappy, because that was strongly on the table. He lost the locker room, which to me says as much as anything. When you lose the locker room, because these are guys out there that are trying to capitalize on their monetization as well. So they're in the same boat as you. And if they're looking at you like, what are you doing? Then that's a real problem. people at Tennessee are just done with you. Right now, they don't have a clear-cut starting quarterback or even a realistic starting quarterback. Now, I know that Tennessee's reached out to a few different quarterbacks, and there's some possibilities, and from what I gather, they're going to be able to fill it pretty well. We'll wait until things are official, but I think they're going to be all right. But if you're another school, if you've got a starting quarterback, Nico's not even on the table. If you've got a halfway decent starting quarterback, but you're like, oh, he's not great, would you be interested? And if you're sitting there like, we don't know who our starting quarterback is, would you be interested right now, knowing everything? I've talked about the package that is Dylan Raiola, and I'm okay with that package as long as we're winning football games. The package that is Nico Iamaliava, would you be interested in that, Jake?
Well, I mean, you'd have to be kind of, pretty desperate because, you know, he did have ample opportunity. And part of this is he brought Tennessee to the playoffs or helped bring them. But this isn't the Hendon Hooker Tennessee team of a couple years ago that was slinging the ball around the field. This was a team that relied a lot on the defense. I think he had five games. I have to go back at his game log. But I think he had like five games against top 25 opponents and only threw for over 200 in one of them. And in that game, he had two interceptions. So he certainly is more upside than he is finished product, which is what makes it, like you said, be a little bit, have more bargaining power, perhaps, if you were more of the finished product, top five quarterback, without a doubt, returning in the nation. But he is kind of viewed as a top five type of quarterback that will develop here in the next couple of years. So that's where it kind of gets interesting. But it just kind of goes back to be careful. You know, this is a Polynesian kid from California. How did Tennessee get him in the first place? Well, we all know they paid a crazy amount of money. So when you say he lost the team, how interested was he ever to be a Tennessee Vol, more so than what they were going to send him to begin with in his bank account? It looks like it was always the bank account, the Vol stuff secondary. So, you know, that's where you are now. If you're going to go out and reach for him, it's going to be the same thing. If Nebraska, say they didn't have Dylan Raiola and they went out and got him, I would be worried immediately. Well, what's going to stop him next year from pulling the same stunt?
Well, you're immediately assuming he's a one-year rental.
Yeah.
And honestly, my thought is, are we going to get through a year with him? That would be because, well, what if we get to the playoff and he wants to actively negotiate his contract and hold us up? So to me, at best, he's a one-year rental, which Notre Dame does that every single year. So some teams don't care. But this kid is looking for multiple years, multiple millions. So then you're on the hook for that, but he can bail anytime he wants, the way college football is right now. For me, if you've got a halfway decent start, if you've got a starter, he's not on the table. If you've got a halfway decent starter, he's not on the table. He is only on the table. Like when Cam Newton went to Auburn, the reason he went to Auburn is they had everything to win football games except a quarterback, and he was that final piece. And if you remember, oh, I want to say they had about 18 of their starters were seniors that year. They won the national title. Like, I'd have to be a team that is ready to win now, and I'm missing a quarterback. If it's not that exact situation, I'm not even thinking about it. And even if it's that exact situation, you said it, I said it. Tennessee was in the CFP last year because of their run game and their defense, not because of their quarterback. So then I've got to look at, do we have an O-line that can protect him? Do we have a run game that can set him up so he's not just a sitting duck back there? Because he's not a kid who's ready to do it by himself. Do we have receivers he can throw to? Like, he legit has to be surrounded by weapons right now because he hasn't shown that he can do it just by himself. You know, if this were Travis Hunter, if he were still in college, if this were Ashton Jeanty, if this were, I'm trying to think of another quarterback. There's not a lot of experienced quarterbacks coming back in the country. Like, Drew Aller's really, who am I missing? Like, big-time potential first-round quarterbacks that are back this year.
Some of the rankings, I got some rankings here for ESPN's top 15 quarterbacks. Won't blow you away. Cade Klubnik of Clemson, Garrett Nussmeier of LSU. I mean, Sam Leavitt over there at Arizona State, Carson Beck. But it's not a who's who of quarterbacks this year coming back.
I mean, so I can't even give the example I want. Let's say Carson Beck's arm was healthy. Okay, that's the closest example you're going to get. So this is a guy who was a preseason Heisman candidate last year. All right, they had a bottom, well, I'm trying to figure out how to say it. The Georgia rushing offense was the worst it's ever been under Kirby Smart in the 100s. They're almost top two or three in the SEC every single year. They led the nation in drops. So my point is, if you were like, hey, Carson Beck is a stud, the offense around him struggled, his elbow is healthy. That's the closest situation I could come to be like, that guy might have an excuse to do something like this, if you want to argue for it, or Travis Hunter, or Ashton Gentry. There just aren't many quarterbacks right now. The biggest name quarterback is Arch Manning. Oh, by the way, you know his high school recruiting class? I've got it in here somewhere. I'll try to find it during the break when you're going to pull up that clip. The top five quarterbacks in that recruiting class. All right. He is the only one still at his original school. Nico Iamaliava was one of those players. I'm going to look for it during the break because I had it. The other four, two through five, he was number one, are all at different schools now. All right. Let's go to break. We'll play that clip. I'll find the stats so I can list the exact names and schools that they're at now. Arch Manning's the only one who stuck around. He's also the only one who hasn't been consistently the starter. There's something to be said for people who've been there, who've done that, like his uncles and family members and whatnot, and being like, hey, there's a right way to do things. And actually, I don't know, somebody doing it the right way. Like, I may not be able to stand Gag Me You, but I'm finding it really hard not to root for Arch Manning right now with everything else that's going on with some other folks around the country. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.